This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jewel Sirkin.
I had another thing to say.
Oh, no.
Going back to the beginning of our conversation when you enlightened me and all our listeners.
I put you straight, yeah.
Yeah, that it is not a shortage of HGV drivers.
So you're getting it wrong again. HGV drivers do not drive petrol tankers.
That's what I'm saying. It is not a shortage. You've enlightened me. It is a shortage of... what are they called, the other drivers?
Brains. It's a shortage of brains. It's people panic buying fuel that is causing the problem. There's not a shortage of anything else.
Well, Andrews, what was the name of the...
ADR drivers. ADR drivers drive petrol tankers.
Okay, so what I've seen coming, I've suddenly realised, and I keep meaning to say this, I noticed it last week on my journeys around, I've seen a lot of cars that are just by the side of the road where people have obviously conked out.
Because run out of fuel, petrol.
And I saw a poor AA man in the queue yesterday on the Thanet Way, waiting for petrol.
One of the funny things, and it's not funny really.
Have you seen a lot conked out on the side?
I haven't been anywhere. I haven't got any petrol.
Have you got a lawnmower? Go out on that.
I don't have a lawnmower, actually, no. I forgot what I was going to say now.
It happens at your age.
Yeah, no, I had something really pithy to say, and and now you've completely made it go out of my head.
Talking of oranges...
No, that's what I was going to tell you.
Coming into the scene.
You're talking about the AA.
Yeah.
Apparently, during the...
I love it when you get lucid.
Yeah. During the fuel crisis caused by people panic buying, during that, there's been a massive increase in the amount of people putting the wrong fuel in their cars.
Oh, because they're panicking.
Because they're panicking and just grabbing whatever thing they can grab and stick it in their cars.
Apparently, there have been fights, rolling about on the
stupid, isn't it?
But have you ordered your turkey? Because you better get in quick.
Have I ordered a turkey? No.
Yeah, and your sprouts and all that. You better get
in.
No,
I haven't.
Because there's going to be chaos, I think.
Why?
Because the government have mentioned it, and so everybody's going to be out buying their sprouts. I actually had sprouts on Sunday.
I never buy my turkey from a shop anyway.
Well, like me, yeah.
I buy it direct from the farm.
Yeah.
I can even I know my turkey. It's him.
And it's got a name.
Every time I drive past him, I go, "Hello, Bill. Yeah. I'm having you for Christmas."
But
he waves as I go past. Hello, Paul. Coming to your place soon. Yeah.
I did hear though that it's a really sad story. I don't know if you've read it. That a farmer had to. Kill loads and loads of piglets because he had no more room for them because he can't do it. There's a shortage of this gas.
A shortage of what? CO2.
Thing that they use to...
CO2.
Do they use it before they kill them?
I don't know. What are you asking me all these questions for?
We need a farmer. Don't they use it to sort of chill them on transport?
It's something to do with the sort of process is they use
CO2.
Maybe
we just need to go halal for the thing, just for a while. Because they don't use anything, do they? Just go...
Right. Anyway, I've...
Sorry to all vegans listening. I can't even say the word plant-based. It's everywhere at the moment. It drives me nuts.
What?
I'm all for having a meat-free day, but this whole plant... Everything is plant-based now. Like, everything. Everywhere you go, everything is plant-based.
Did you see that?
Getting on my nerves.
Did you see that tweet the other day? Somebody moaning like mad that they couldn't get a quinoa salad. In London for a love nor money.
What's a quinoa salad?
You know, whatever.
Quinoa.
Yeah, that's him.
The way you say it. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's it called?
Quinoa.
Yeah, him. Yeah.
Quinoa, it's spelled.
Yeah, quinoa. They couldn't get a quinoa salad.
And they were upset, were they?
And they were really upset.
What did they...
But this doesn't happen in Europe, you know.
What do they have
in the EU, we don't have problems getting quinoa salad in Europe, you know.
It's a shortage of quinoa.
Yeah, yeah. And avocados, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Well, the avocado trade is quite... it's a bit up there with the old palm oil. Isn't it?
I mean, generally, the problem is for 18 months, nothing's happened in the world. Yeah. We've been closed down due to a pandemic, and therefore, supply chains are disrupted, growing seasons are disrupted, work is everything's been disrupted. It's going to take ages. Once they lift restrictions, it's going to take ages for it all to settle back down. I'm going to have a bit of a rant now as well.
Again.
Because, yeah, well, it's a bit like yesterday as well.
Oh, it's only 11 past. That's fine. Go on.
It's a bit like yesterday, yeah, with the failure of Facebook and WhatsApp and Instagram. Yeah,
I love that song.
Sorry?
I love that song.
Yeah, whatever.
Yesterday.
Yeah, whatever. The failure of those three platforms was due to one single BCP error, yeah? Which just shows you how fragile technology can be.
How vulnerable we are. I said that to my new husband, exactly. Yeah.
And whilst it doesn't really matter that Facebook went down, we can all live without Facebook. Seriously, folks, we can really all live without Facebook.
But I use WhatsApp a lot for work.
Yeah, yeah, but there's alternatives. You could have sent a text or rung them or sent a letter or something, But my point about this is the same fragility of technology is existent in banking systems, in health systems, in government systems. Yeah. You get one of those problems which brings a network like that down, and our lives grind to a halt. Now, I did a whole rant about the evil people at HSBC Bank and how stupid they are. No, we still have a technical glitch with that, and it just shows you how one piece of software can ruin everything because there's no human interaction for going and going, hold on a minute, is this right?
Well, the other day when I tried to buy my hair colour, lovely colour herb, very gentle on your scalp, it's Italian. But I buy it from a little business in London, and she couldn't take my payment, and she said, I'll phone you back. It was really annoying, because then she phoned me back when I couldn't, scrabble about and get my card out. And their systems are all down. And we are extremely vulnerable, and especially in hospitals and things. It just needs one thing.
I think that's what I just said.
I'm agreeing with
good
you.
Good grief.
Yeah. I am.
Well, we better move on then. If you're going to agree with me, there's no point in discussing this any further, is there?
Talking of delays, Paul Andrews, there are major delays, as we know, in house building in Kent, predicted. This is predicted due to shortage of bricklayers, roofers and lorry drivers. We won't mention the lorry drivers just in case you get uppity, but certainly bricklayers and roofers. And it's a bleak picture. I don't like that. I don't want a bleak picture coming up. It's been painted of an emerging housing crisis in the county, says a council chief. Sounds like a Native American Indian, doesn't he? Kent County Council's KCC chief.
He's smoking a pipe.
Pipe of peace. Cabinet met and has been told that there could be major delays to building of hundreds of homes across the 12 districts, excluding Medway. Now, why is Medway excluding? I don't know. Despite the lifting...
Because it doesn't come under Kent County Council.
What's it come under?
Medway Council.
Oh, OK. So do they have hundreds of bricklayers?
No, but what they're saying is they don't know about Medway because it's a different authority.
OK. They could discuss it, of course.
Well, they could, but they don't care because it's Medway. Who cares about Chatham as far as they're concerned in Kent?
I hope Tasey isn't listening. Tracy Ferguson.
No, I'm just telling you what KCC's thoughts are on it, yeah? It's not their problem.
What are Tracy Ferguson's thoughts?
I've got a tweet from Tracy that I'm desperately trying to read.
I'm not going to let you get.
And then I want to talk to two guests, but you carry on. Go on.
Key issues include labour shortages and lack of skilled workers in the housing sector, particularly bricklayers, roofers and HGV drivers. In Dartford, Ebbsfleet Development Corporation has a target to create 525 homes by the end of the year, with less than 50% of that number completed. My answer is to them as well, will they be putting solar on those new builds? Because they don't seem to be, and they should be.
The problem that we've got here is the consequences of 20 years of political interference in markets has resulted in where we are now. For the last 20 years, we've been trying to send everybody or as many people as we could to university, and therefore trades like construction, things like HGV driving, things like the care industry have all suffered because there's a lack of candidates, a lack of training, and a lack of people being brought into those industries when they leave school and college. They've all been encouraged to go to university and study something at university. Whether what they study is valid or not is immaterial. The fact is they haven't been going into those industries that we've discovered during a pandemic are really, really important. Yeah,
yeah, like, perhaps we need better wages for those kind of...
We certainly do need better wages, but again, you have to be careful about this. You know, I saw politicians demanding a £15 an hour minimum wage. As an employer, that will cost me £21 an hour to finance, because... I've got to pay you the 15, then I've got to pay employers' national insurance, workplace pension, and all the other regulatory things that go towards paying someone.
Yeah.
So you're asking me to pay someone to work in my coffee shop £21 an hour, which is great as long as you're prepared to pay 11 quid for a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, Bill's was quite a lot more expensive than my local independent.
Mm. Right, I've got a tweet that I want to read, and then I really want to talk to these two guys.
Get it off
yeah?
your chest.
Yeah, I've got a tweet from Tracy Ferguson, who's talking about Liz Barclay, who we heard from just before the news. Great message about supporting small businesses to keep going and to ask for help. The ability to do this is often seen as a weakness by fiercely independent and proud business owners. Actually, it's a great strength, and there are people who will listen. What a fabulous interview with Liz Barclay, the Small Business Commissioner. Yes, thank you, Tracy. I agree 100%. You've got to ask for help. You know, don't struggle by, don't struggle on. I saw a tweet from somebody yesterday saying, do you know what? Half the time I don't send invoices because I don't like asking for money.
Mm.
You go, well, you really shouldn't be in business. Anyway, listen, I want to talk to these two very patient people who sat here listening to this nonsense for over an hour now. it's a pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show Zeenat Nirani and Chandra Sharma. Thank you so much for joining us. Both of you have been on the show before. Zeenat does her own show on this very station on a Friday, The Mindset Matters. But you've come here to talk about something slightly different that you're both involved in. So I don't mind who goes first. One of you kick off and just give us an overview of what it is that you guys are up to.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. And thank you for inviting us on the show. Lovely studio you have here. Quite comfortable here.
Yeah,
biscuits
yeah.
As well.
It's a bit warm according to Jules, and it's a bit cold according to the rest of us. But never mind.
My name is Chandra Sharma, and for some years I've been dealing with various people at various levels, whether it's in the council, with local businesses, with customers, clients, you name it. We've been dealing with them, and the main thing that I've always found is the first impression that you get of somebody. Now, I'm sure you formed an impression of myself in this room.
Oh, and you smelt delicious when you wafted in.
Thank you very much.
With your
Hugo. Oh, she's got all, as soon as she walked in, Charlie, she got all previous. She did, yeah.
With his Hugo boss.
Yeah.
I smell delicious, Paul.
I hope I still smell delicious now after all those biscuits and things.
Yeah, smell quite gingery. Now.
Gingery. So the whole thing is about the impressions that you create on people. We all like to create a positive impression.
Of course, yeah.
But what we think and what other people think are two different things.
Mm.
So that was one of the reasons why I wanted to develop something called the People Skills Course.
Mm.
And I've been thinking about it for a number of years. And then all of a sudden I asked a colleague of mine, said, look, do you know anybody who can put the science behind my waffle? because I can waffle a little bit.
No.
I love a waffle.
Waffles are great.
And he put me in touch with the wonderful Zeenat.
Mm.
And Zeenat, I'd never met before, but she's an NLP practitioner, and I'm sure she'll introduce herself properly herself. And
You're doing quite well introducing me.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, she's a wonderful lady. She's been doing a lot of work with us on some of the networking and other community projects that we've been doing. And she came in with the science about how the brain works.
Right.
And what makes people tick. So I'm just going to introduce you. I have to hand you over to Zeenat.
My brain works fine, actually.
It works wonderful.
Does it tick?
It ticks. Well, when it wants to tick.
Zeenat, did you hear on the news and Chandra yesterday that people with depression, they've been putting a little chip in people's brains to address that thing? And I thought, wow.
Was that with salt and vinegar?
This is space age, isn't it? This is
technology
scary
and
stuff.
Science is just increasing. Mm. I'm not sure about the chip in the eye.
No, I'm not sure I would like it, but I think NLP would be...
So, neuro-linguistic programming, shortened to NLP, is one of your bags.
It is one of my tools,
Zeenat. Okay, so let's develop what Chandra was just saying about this creating an impression. And for me, as a business person, one of the things that I find quite often when I talk to business owners about the recruitment process, for instance, is so many business owners now just say to me, I don't care what qualifications people have.
Yeah.
I just want communication skills and attitude.
Yeah.
So I guess that's kind of the whole thing that we're talking about here, is developing those.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but, you know, for me, our education system, for me, has become too geared towards examination passing and not geared enough towards thinking skills, presentation skills.
Don't get started on that. Coming from the primary background of the educational system, you're absolutely right there, Paul. I think times have changed and we really need to focus on the communication, the language, because those are the prime skills that you need. Academia comes as it comes, but fundamentally you've got to be starting from how you talk to people, how you understand yourself as a person and relate to others in order to then take that out into the bigger, wide world.
Sure.
And I think that's where a lot of businesses struggle. And if they haven't got their own self-awareness, it's then how do they adapt to those changes?
That's so true. And you were talking about interviews being recruited. People make an impression within the first few seconds. As soon as they see you, whether it's your body language, the way you address them, the way you shake your hand, people make that impression very, very quickly.
A nice tie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
you
bright,
like it.
Bright clothes always make a huge difference to me.
Well, it's it's interesting though, isn't it? Because I want your thoughts on this. That's what you just said is a bit of a truism, Jules. But nowadays, it all depends. Yeah, if you're going for an interview with some creative agency and you turn up in a
tie.
In a grey two piece suit and a blue tie, they're going to think, "Oh, you're a bit dull and boring." Whereas if you turn up for an accountancy interview in a Hawaiian shirt and shorts and flip flops, they're going to go, "Well, a bit avant garde for us." So it's about understanding who you're communicating with.
Absolutely.
And also eye contact, we haven't mentioned, but eye contact is hugely important, isn't it? That first couple of seconds as you come through a room and you greet someone and that eye contact, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, no, it makes all the difference, doesn't
it?
No, absolutely.
We love
We're
each other,
humans,
don't
aren't we? We absolutely
other.
Do.
Makes you warm, doesn't it, eye contact?
It is. And the smile.
Yeah.
The smile is so important
which
as
is,
well, isn't it?
Which is why, getting a bit controversial, masks I find quite sinister. I know we're having to sometimes wear them, but I find that loss of somebody's expression really, really difficult.
Well, especially, you know, for people who struggle with communication as well. That's a huge sort of discrepancy for them.
Not to see a mouth.
Not to see a mouth.
Or an expression.
An expression. I mean, even talking about, you know, eye cues and everything, I mean, that's absolutely fundamental. But we also need to understand what eye cues are. And NLP teaches us a lot of that, about that. But imagine if somebody's autistic or has got ADH, those IQs are completely off.
They're not
going to be the normal IQs that you would read, or would they be able to do that? So again, it's about educating ourselves how to recognise those symptoms.
It's interesting. It's interesting you said that. A friend of mine, Amanda Parvin, runs a company called Ethical HR, and she's pioneering interview techniques for people with autism. Because so many people on the autism spectrum don't like the face-to-face confrontation of an interview. So what she does for an interview for these people is they go for a walk with a dog. So they're not facing each other while they're chatting. And she finds she gets much more out of someone who isn't panicked by having someone stare at them.
And that makes a huge difference. And it is, it's a, you know, like I said earlier on, it's about changing with time and catering to their needs, because there will be missed opportunities, especially for this younger generation that's coming out, who are maybe wanting to open up businesses, develop their team skills, which we're going to go into. There has to be opportunities for them to be able to kind of communicate without those pressures. Because
I think
they're going to struggle.
Yeah, communication is just key. I mean, this part of the people skills course, the main part of communication, whether it's verbal, non-verbal, text messages, WhatsApp, things can be misinterpreted.
Emails. Punctuation and
I'm
on a text.
I'm big fan of punctuation.
Yes. Oh, so that again.
I'm big on punctuation. Yeah.
Are you a grammar Nazi?
I am a grammar Nazi.
I was listening to someone on the radio the other day, and she
hopefully
said,
not me.
No, it wasn't. she said artist, and I was thinking, what's an artist?
Yeah.
I didn't know what an artist was, but it's an artist. But you know, I was just listening. I thought, what the hell's an artist?
Oh, regional accents.
But that's that we was.
That's awesome, Jules. Thank you. Yeah.
He knows I hate that word, you see. But what was it you said today? Two times. That is, you've been watching Netflix.
Instead of twice.
Yeah, exactly.
How many times did I say it?
Don't lose your Elizabethan.
How many times did I say it?
Twice.
Two times I said it.
Thrice.
The whole subject is a fascinating subject, and there's lots of issues. And a lot of it comes back to some of the things we've been discussing so far today in various rants that we've had, is that, you know, our dealings with organisations where we come across someone in a call centre who's being driven by a computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you get lots of computers saying no. There's no real sense of engagement. Human contact and human engagement, or treating you as an individual human being. It you know, you're all a file on a computer.
As they say, a number, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's interesting because we've been working with a technology company,
right.
And one of the problems that they have is the guys are very techie,
yeah.
And the people on the other side are human,
yeah,
and they don't understand the techie language. So our job is to get them to speak in human sort of terms rather than in techie terms and get the end result. What tends to happen is people leave the call frustrated, not knowing what's going on and not being clear about everything. So we use communication skills to show them how to behave. In fact, we listen to calls, don't we?
Yes, yeah, we were listening to all the phone calls and then getting them to listen to themselves, because guaranteed that they don't listen to themselves. And it was actually very enlightening that they thought, oh, actually, I could have said that differently, or this is the areas that I need to change in order for somebody to understand. And I think, you know, part of our people skills course is to bring about that awareness, how they can develop the communication, because it is fundamental. Otherwise, they're going to lose the business.
Absolutely. And do you know, it's such a fundamentally important thing. But my biggest thing about this is it's an opportunity. It's a business opportunity.
Definitely.
If you can communicate effectively with your customers or potential customers, that's a business advantage.
Yeah.
And so many organisations appear not to care. I'm sure they do care, but they appear not to care.
Appear not to,
because of the way they handle their interactions. Mm. And one of the things you find, going back to your call listening and having worked with technology in a number of these areas, a lot of people are put under pressure in call centres to handle calls quickly.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, so they're given a target. Like, you can't stay on the phone longer than 3 minutes or whatever. Well, the pressure behind that is just to get rid of someone.
It's extremely scripted as well.
Yeah, it's incredibly scripted to go, sorry, bye.
The worst word that they use that drives me nuts, I don't know about you, Chandra, obviously. When it is totally not obvious,
not
obvious at all.
Yes,
you know,
that's a generalisation word. We know all about that, don't we? NLP.
Tell me why.
Well, you've got these generalising words like always and obviously and...
obviously drives me nuts.
It's absolutely obvious. Absolutely.
Totes agree with that.
That's too modern for me.
I didn't know that was to do with NLP, though, that sort of thing.
It's language.
Okay.
So we pick out certain types of language and we analyse that, and then we think, okay, what is the true meaning behind those words? Because that's what NLP is. It's the neuro-linguistic programming, the language of it.
Because often they're just fillers, aren't they?
They are, but sometimes we're not thinking about how we're using those fillers.
I think Bloomberg called them throat clearers, you know, instead of an
Yes.
Yeah. But I know I've listened to people who will say obviously about 8 times in a couple of sentences. And, you know,
it gives you a little bit of thinking time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You
know, obviously.
And it also depends on the tone of how they say it as well.
Yeah. Well, it's like with language. I've said this before, but it was a long time ago. I was waiting in the queue at Next in Canterbury about 4 or 5 years ago. Long, long queue. And when I finally got to the desk to exchange something, instead of saying, hello, sorry for your wait, she said, all right. Yeah. And I said, No, I'm not all right. Now, had she said, hello, sorry for your wait, I would have said, that's really okay. Yeah. You know, that's fine. But when she said, all right.
It diffuses the situation, doesn't it?
I want to strangle her, you know.
I've had a couple of texts from Tracy Ferguson. The first one is a gentle admonition for denigrating Chatham.
We love Chatham.
Yeah, but we'll gloss over that. Yeah. She's been very kind to me anyway. But being more sensible about it, Tracy said technology also means that young people can connect without ever having to physically meet someone.
Yeah.
It results in people just not knowing how to communicate. Yeah. And that is very, very true, isn't it? It is interesting how we kind of move this on. And so what I want to move on to talk to you about now, if I may, is the actual people skills course. What it is you offer and who to whom you offer it and what it consists of. So maybe we can look at the technicalities of the actual people skills course.
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of who we offer the course to, is to small to medium, large-sized businesses.
Right. People anybody who deals
teams,
with people.
Anybody who deals with... Yeah, yeah. Anybody. Yeah. But I suppose most of our target's been businesses.
Yeah.
Anyone who has to deal with people, whether it's themselves, their team members, and then... not getting the results that they want. There's discrepancies. There's clashes in personalities. Mm-hmm. Because we do the DISC profile.
Oh, okay, DISC.
That's one of them that we look at. And, you know, when we do it, it really gives other people sort of an insight to where they are and to really understand that we have a preference in the way we are.
Yep.
Right? Doesn't mean that's the way I am. But we can always change and mould our behaviours and our attitudes. Mm. But what it does give us is a better understanding. So that's one of the areas that we really, really do focus on our people skills course.
I think also people often get promoted into positions that they're not ready for.
Mm. Oh, without a doubt, yeah.
Just because they're good at doing something, they get promoted in that, and they're not managers and they're not given the training. The people skills training that they need to get the best out of their teams.
It's still a fascinating thing that we confuse management and leadership positions with rewards.
So true.
You know, we go, we're going to make you the manager or we're going to make you the director of something. Not because you've got leadership skills, but because we just like what you've been doing and it's a reward. And you see that so often, you know, good salespeople promoted into sales management.
That's correct.
And basically what you've done there is you've lost a good salesman and instituted a poor sales manager.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because you've invariably not given them any training or insight into how to manage people, which is a completely different skill to selling to people.
Completely different.
You know, saying that, we recently trained somebody who was a techie guy in a company who was promoted to a management position.
Yeah.
And obviously he didn't have those leadership skills, but we were fortunate enough to go in there and coach him through what he needs to have as a leader for himself, but also for his team that he was going to lead.
Yeah. It was a comprehensive sort of 12-week program going through various bits of leadership there. And I think it was taking each step at a time, just seeing the effect that he was having on his team, listening to some of the calls, listening to what the team members thought, listening to what his line managers thought, and then developing a program from there. Mm. At the end, I'm pleased that he got promoted.
He did, absolutely.
He got the job, so that was really good.
You know, the great thing is, it not only did it impact positively on his business, but also his personal life, because it is about juggling the two.
Mm.
And we forget that our communication as well at home is different from what it is at work.
Absolutely. But you're right, you know... communication skills are a really difficult thing, aren't they? Because it depends on the circumstances. I used to teach these things as well many years ago, and one of the things I kept threatening to do to people was to teach them how to be better customers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I meant by that is that quite often someone will get irate about something that's happened. They'll call a company and they'll immediately start to berate the person on the other end of the phone. Now, that person had nothing to do with the transaction until the minute you rang up.
Yeah.
And they're the only person you can talk to that can fix it.
Mm.
So shouting at them
is
just not going to help. And but we've got this huge tendency to want to do that because we're frustrated, annoyed, angry and upset. And one of the things I started to tell people is I'm going to teach you how to be a better customer.
Yeah.
Because if you can maintain a better communication as a customer, you will get a better resolution to your problem quicker and sooner. But that's easy to say, but it's not always easy to implement when you're upset. Yeah.
No, and that goes back to what you said earlier on. Goes back to learning those skills earlier on through school, secondary, and it's ongoing. I mean, you always talk about, Chandra, that when you're in a situation, how you can learn to just stop, take a deep breath, and that's what we teach as well, and not to respond instantly. Yeah.
Particularly
situation.
On emails. If somebody sends you an email and you're really annoyed, I always do a draft email, wait until the morning, till I calm down, amend the email, and then send it.
You see that starkly rewarded if you look at something like Twitter, where somebody posts something and somebody reacts to it, and before you know it, there's a full-blown war going on.
Yeah.
And if you're on the outside of it, you're going, I wonder how that happened, because I don't think they meant what they said.
That's right.
And the way that you've taken it and the direction that you've sent this thread in has gone completely, you know, ballistic. And I just think you're both wrong.
I don't know if you remember the real Donald Trump's emails or Twitters, where he's writing capital letters when he got really shouty, wouldn't it? And that has a different impression on somebody if it was in lowercase. And that's the same on emails and text messages.
And that's what we do, isn't it, on the People Skills course. We really focus in on those emails and the text messages, how you actually word things. Because how I might word it and read it might be different from you, Jules, or from Chandra. So I could write something right now, and all three of you in this room will interpret it in the way that you want to interpret it, because it also goes, it reflects on how you're feeling in that moment, the environment, and the relationship that you have with that person.
Yeah, and the beliefs that you carry in general about anything going on in the world will influence how you respond to what you see written or spoken.
I think one of the key things is as more and more people return to the office, people have been working in almost solitary confinement, haven't they? Been at home.
Absolutely,
And not been in touch with people around the water cooler and all the rest of it, these things there. So you're returning to the office. Some people may have been recruited new during COVID pandemic.
Yep.
And they're returning to a room full of 30, 40, 50 people. So how do you make that right impression? How do you get settled back in to work there? And how do you develop as a person? So this is going to be quite key, I think, after these 18 months of people being at home. How do you settle back into the world of work?
Start wearing tight trousers again, you know.
Absolutely. And how do you get your point across in meetings? You know, sometimes there are dominant characters within businesses, and they will get their point across. And the person who's a little bit quieter, has got something valuable to say, won't say it because of the dominance there.
It's like me and Jules, isn't it? I try to get a word in and she just talks over me and ignores me and just, you know.
Well, obviously, there's a reason for that.
She is awesome, but she has lovely
things to say.
Do you help, so somebody gets a new job and it's amazing. I was thinking about this imposter syndrome, which... I think everybody who's successful at one time has thought, how on earth did I get there, you know. Do you deal with that sort of thing?
Yeah, no, definitely. That's one of the key things that we do look at.
Tell us about that. So how does somebody get this amazing job and then think, crikey, you know, what do I do?
So we all have our insecurities, don't we? You know, are we good enough? Was I promoted before I should have been? Am I being paid too little? Am I being paid too less? We have all these negative voices in our head. And do you want to explain about the negative voices? Because that is quite key in terms of imposter syndrome and how we can overcome those.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's exactly what you're saying. The inner voices that we have is based on our experiences that we've had in the past.
Have a biscuit.
Have a biscuit. There you go. Quick, have a biscuit.
You can't solve this, so go and have a biscuit and a cup of tea and then come back.
You know what? That would actually be a really good one to, you know, it's positive.
How often do we procrastinate, you know, and go and make a cup of tea or go to the toilet?
Yeah. Or,
you know,
it's that fear of actually facing what we have to do. Yeah. Mm. But thinking about, you know, the reasons why we lose confidence or we feel that we're not worthy enough for that position of that job, no matter how much we want it, because we set ourselves such high expectations on ourselves. It could be our parents that have set those expectations on us. It could be through a traumatic experience where you then say, no, I'm going to overcome that. But then you kind of go to the extreme. And then it sets you back with imposter syndrome. Mm. I mean, imposter syndrome is a label, umbrella term for so many different elements.
Sure.
Run us through just a couple of the top elements, because I've been hearing a lot about imposter syndrome.
So imposter syndrome would involve things like being a perfectionist.
Mm. Right.
Lack of self-worth and confidence, not feeling good enough. Fitting
Paul.
In.
You and me.
Sorry.
You and me.
Yeah. You know, we have a term called the Peter Principle, mm-hmm. yeah, which is that people are promoted to their to the point that they are inadequate at doing a job, yeah, so you're over-promoted eventually. But the reality of anything, and this fascinates me when you look at human behaviour, the reality of anything is we tend to ascribe to other people levels that they don't possess or don't feel they possess, and then under-prescribe to ourselves where we are, because we know our inner thoughts and feelings, which is what you're saying, Zina. So basically we go, well, I know I don't really know anything about this, and Chandra, he's a genius at this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know he's a genius because everybody tells me,
It's true.
Yeah, and it's true in Chandra's case. But the funny thing is, any endeavour that a human being undertakes is a process of learning, and doesn't matter how expert you are, you can still learn something. Mm. You know, there's no finite thing where you get to the point where someone goes, that's it, you know, that person is the epitome of humanity. Mm. They can't learn another thing, they know everything, and no person exists like that. So anything we do is always a learning process, so you know, being hard on ourselves for not knowing stuff is ridiculous. You talk, because I think this is fascinating, and you've hit a number of nails on the head. I mean, talking about techies, and one of the things, I used to be a technical manager, and one of the things that used to drive me mad is that people won't say, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll come out with all kinds of waffle to try to pretend that they know what a problem is when they don't. And it would be far easier if they went, do you know what, Paul, at the moment, I don't know. And you go, fine, fair enough, let's have a look and see if we can find it. But no, they'll go, no, well, I think your flux capacitor's dropped off of your carburetor there. You know, and it's just nonsense.
Sometimes it's best to be honest. Honest and straightforward, I think.
Absolutely.
It's best to be,
But then I think that, again, that goes back to many people's upbringing, where they haven't been taught that it's okay to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
But if you've been drummed in that you have to know, and if you don't know, don't say anything at all.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's a failure. And actually, it's not a failure. And you're right, Paul, it's a learning curve. Mm. Sorry, John.
I think one of the other things is about mindset. It's being in the right mindset. I know this is a Zenat speciality as well. So when I had a recruitment business, I was dealing with chief executives and managing directors, and I classed myself as a recruitment consultant. So I already put myself a few pedestals below the person I was talking to. And for the first few weeks, we didn't get any business at all because I wouldn't pick up the phone.
Right.
The mind was telling me that this person is more superior to you than you are.
Mm.
And it was only when I switched that mindset over, saying that I'm the managing director of this recruitment company and I'm actually doing you a favor, that the mindset switched and the sales came. So the mind plays a huge amount of tricks on you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And part of that is down to the imposter syndrome, which can start very, very early on, even at childhood, even at birth. It can start and fester in there. Mm. You've been told off for something when you were little, and that's it. And then you say, I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, totally agree. Absolutely. It is. It's a huge mind shift. And, you know, anybody wanting to can make those changes.
Mm.
It's just, it starts with the inner, the self, and then you work outside. And I think, what was it, you were, you know, talking about how companies want the best for their staff, but it's that investment. What they need to look at is the long-term investment, what they'll get from investing in their staff members, but themselves as well as those CEOs and leaders at the top. What is it that they want? They want a place that's a happy place, that everybody works effectively and efficiently. And fundamentally, this is what this course or our, the people skills brings to businesses.
Yeah, I mean, training is an investment. Investing in your team is so important because people are a company's greatest assets.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
So you can invest in everything else you like, but if you don't invest in your people, you're not going to get the results that you desire.
And the thing about the kind of things that you're doing with the People Skills Program is you can see the results of it.
Oh, yes.
You know, very quickly you can see the results of it, both at a personal level where people suddenly start to feel more comfortable in themselves and also how they react to people that they're dealing with.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are a lot of things where in the training arena where it's very hard to tell what the return on investment is, but with something like this, it's actually, you know, demonstrable. You can go, well, look, this is how you started and this is where you are now.
I think also you get a happier workforce as well.
Yeah,
with the training, with the skills, with the leadership and the management, you've got a happier workforce, which means productivity is high. At the end of the day, people are interested in bottom line productivity.
Absolutely.
And you need to invest in people.
Yeah. But, like anything in any training, and all of us will know this, it's whatever training you invest in for yourself, for your staff, it has to be consistency. And ongoing. And that's one of the things we emphasize on our course. And when we've done our courses or training with these companies, it's like, okay, you now have to put this into place and action. And then we check in with them, because there's no point just doing the tick box exercise, which I talk about in terms of mental health and well-being on my show as well. It's not a tick box exercise. It's ongoing.
Yeah.
And you have to have those check-in points.
Yeah.
Because we do all slip off that path every so often, it's natural.
Every day.
But it's a learning experience, isn't it? It's a build. You're building blocks. If you teach somebody something, they don't take it all in one go. Yeah, they'll take it in little bits and blobs and build, you know, one step on top of the other, and then come back and revisit something that they didn't kind of get the first time. You know, it's a process.
Yeah. And as we know, it takes approximately sort of 30 days to a maximum of 90 days for those patterns and behaviours to form new patterns and behaviours and understandings.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
You've got to be consistent with it.
Yeah.
So, folks, thank you so much for that. A fascinating discussion about people skills. If people want to find out more about the People Skills Program, what it's about and how to book it, what's the best way to do that?
They go onto the website, thepeopleskillscourse.co.uk.
Fantastic.
And can I just jump in there? We do have a course coming up soon on the 25th of November.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely, yes.
Is this a public course, Zina?
It is for business. So it'll be online, and the information will be on the website soon.
Okay.
So it's on the 25th of November, and it'll be a full-day course.
Fantastic. So I was going to ask you about that, actually. So you do public courses where just individuals can come along and do it, as well as in-house courses for...
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic.
So we do courses on-site, an office in Bromley, in Kent. We do it on Zoom, and we also do it at client sites as well. So whatever suits the
fantastic
client.
Yeah.
And
okay,
we tend to bespoke the courses to what they need.
Fantastic. Check it out. There's a link to the website on the Kent Business Radio website. That will stay there forever.
Great.
But for the moment, Chandra and Zeenat, thank you so much for being on the Business Monkey Show.
Thank you for having me again.
Absolute pleasure.
And of course, you can hear Zeenat on her very own show on Fridays at 11 a.m., is it? Or have
it's
I made
now
that?
You can hear Zeenat every day of the week, really.
What time is it on a Friday live?
It's at 10:30 now.
10:30.
An extra half hour.
Yeah.
On Channel Radio.
10:30 to the...
Till 12.
Till 4-ish. And then she's the Bromley Buzz at 10 a.m. on a Monday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she wanders into my studio here on a Tuesday.
I'm just everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And quite right too. Anyway.
Mid-Kent Mind.
Hold on. Go on.
Mid Kent Mind are offering a free 5-week programme where young people will have the opportunity to explore practical ideas about how they can keep themselves safe without breaking the law. And it's Mental Health Matters is their little hashtag. You can go to maidstonemind.org/mind-the-knife. So, of course, knife crime is quite...
Oh, wow.
Right, I'm going to do the FSB news uninterrupted
without
now.
Without any interruption?
Yeah.
Off you go.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
Entries are now open for the Celebrating Small Business Awards 2022. We're celebrating the achievements, successes and resilience of small businesses and the self-employed across the UK. And you're invited, whether you're shortlisted for one of 12 local awards or make it all the way through to the spectacular, awesome, lovely, wonderful UK final. It's time to put your business in the spotlight and show us what you're made of. It's free to enter, so what are you waiting for? If you go to www.fsbawards.co.uk, you can find out all about it and you can enter your business into the awards. I'm going to tell you a number of webinars and events that are taking place now. At the end of these, I will give you the link to find out more and to book them. They might not be totally in date order, but we'll try. Tomorrow, manana, Wednesday the 6th of October, how to attract your ideal clients and customers. Increase your conversion rates without using pushy selling techniques. Tuesday the 12th of October, supply chain opportunities and more with the HS2 project. Hear how the project can benefit your business, plus pick up hints and tips on how to enter other supply chains as well as the HS2 supply chain. On Friday the 22nd of October, 12 noon to 2 p.m., is the Kent BAME Networking Black History Month special. Join us for talks and a Q&A from three business owners from Kent and the South East who will discuss their successes and experiences of being an ethnic minority business owner. And the event is hosted by Gemma Fairclough-Haynes. On Friday the 29th of October, there's a Q&A breakfast meeting with Ashford MP Damian Green. And then on Thursday the 7th of October, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. is Kent Women in Enterprise Virtual Networking. That's 11 till 12 with an optional after party at 12 o'clock. On October the 14th, 11 till 12, FSB member David Taylor will be giving a webinar on the South East Local Enterprise Partnership Adapting with Digital program and briefing on the upcoming South East Local Enterprise grants that are available from the 18th of October. Then on the 21st of October, 10 to 11.30, the Lower Thames Crossing Project is holding a briefing for FSB members on the next steps for the project and how it aims to include SMEs in the supply chain. On Thursday the 14th of October, discovering the hidden value in your business and how to unlock it. That's 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. And you can hear from business owners about the importance of intellectual property and the role that it's played in the success of her business by securing market share, and that's with Mandy Harberman. And then on Thursday the 21st of October, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m, cybersecurity in the small business. 4 in 10 small businesses report they've been victims of cybercrime, with the average cost a jaw-dropping £8,400. Could you afford to become part of the stats? Join the FSB for this bite-sized session led by Detective Superintendent Neil Jones. So they are the up-and-coming events that are available during October. To find all of them and find more detail and to book your place, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB, you will find all of the details there. Right. Jules.
Very beautifully said. I think you're absolutely awesome, Paul Andrews.
Thank you.
We haven't done a lot of Twitter today, have we? We've been a bit lax on that.
Well, there's been loads of tweets, so
I know,
haven't read them all out.
You've been lax.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw Chips and Dinks pop up, and I saw a few others. Hello to you all, anyway, if you're listening.
I need to tell you about this as well, which is the King's Summit. It's going ahead as a live event. And it's less than a couple of weeks away. In fact, it's only a week away. It's on the 14th of October, and it's at the Kent Event Centre in Detling. In the past year, business owners seeking wisdom and fresh insights to grow their business have found this to be one of the most valuable days in the business calendar. You can find out all about it by going to www.thekingssummit.com. That's thekingssummit.com.
Sounds very posh, doesn't
yeah.
it? King's Summit.
Yeah.
I'm sort of thinking of a man in sort of velvet ermine.
With a crown on.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That will be a king.
Yeah.
Do you know, at a summit.
I've been so stressed, Paul Andrews. I've had to start watching Downton Abbey again right from the very start. I find it very soothing.
Do you?
Yeah, Downton Abbey. It's not your bag, is it?
I don't watch TV. Oh,
you read, don't you, apparently?
I read books. I don't watch TV. Yeah.
If you read Blockchain, then.
My youngest son worked on Series 2 of Downton Abbey.
I know. Yeah. Well, he could act. He's very handsome.
Yeah, yeah, no, but he doesn't do that anymore.
Yeah, but he could. Mm. Discovery Park in Sandwich has signed a 2-year deal with the Innovation Forum. It's been helping boost startups in the life sciences industry. This is good. It's agreed a 2-year partnership with the Innovation Forum, a global non-network, not-for-profit network, to help enhance entrepreneurial spirit and develop useful contacts. Also, some mums have launched their own business. It's a networking group in Medway and hope to change male-dominated culture in the industry. It's a group of mothers, and they've come together to form their own super group as part of a networking revolution specifically tailored to women and mums who want to advance their businesses. I read that as women and nuns, so it was a bit worrying. Currently, less than 1/3 of UK businesses are co-owned by women, according to the UENI 2020. A figure which highlights a significant disparity in gender within the entrepreneurial industry. Although this figure is in fact a remarkable increase from 4 years ago when just 17% of business founders were women. Because we're all at home changing the nappies and breastfeeding. And
absolutely. There's a huge conversation going on Twitter now about communication and the impacts of technology or not technology. Yeah. And loads of people saying, oh, well, I've made loads of friends that I've never met. Yeah, absolutely. And there's not a problem with that. That's not what the problem with technology is. The problem with technology is when you use it as a weapon and not as an aid to communicating. Absolutely. Listen, we're at the end of another show.
Where did that go?
I know. It went very quickly, didn't it? But I want to say a massive thank you to this week's guest, Liz Barclay, the Small Business Commissioner. And please, please do get in contact with the Small Business Commissioner's office if you're struggling with payments or if you've got anything to add to the debate. They really do want to hear from you and they really are passionate about sorting that problem out. And it is important that we do that. I want to say a massive thank you to our other two guests, Chandra Sharma and Zeenat Narani of the People Skills Course.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having a fascinating discussion as much as anything else and starting a Twitter storm as well. We do appreciate that. Thank you to our sponsors this week, the Tenterton Trial Lights Trial Team, Christmas in Tenterton. Thank you to my stonkingly gorgeous co-host. I'll be back on Thursday on the Business Bunker Extra Show.
Who have you got on?
And I'm got an interview with Zandra Tizzo, who's a photographer.
Oh, great. Okay. What, portrait or people or
yes.
business? Both.
She does.
You're going to find out, aren't
no,
you?
I know. She does wildlife, she does portrait, landscape and wedding photography.
Gosh, that is a real, yeah. Yeah.
And she's got a very interesting backstory. So you have to listen on Thursday at 1 o'clock because it's a really interesting backstory that Zandra has. But that's it for another week. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. We'll be back next week with another lineup of fantastic guests. Have a great week, everybody, and bye for now.
Bye for now. Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.